1 John chapter 4 tonight. The Holy Spirit showed up last week, and we did not finish our lesson, so I'll quickly go through where we stopped, up to where we stopped last week, and then we'll finish the lesson of last week. It's too important just to skip over. So I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up. So we'll let Him do that as much as He wants to. So tonight we'll be in 1 John chapter 4. The first six verses is what we're going to try to cover tonight. So we begin in verse 1 of 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the day that You've given us. You know the rain that we needed. Lord, You know the sunshine we need as well on Sunday. And we're looking forward to that Saturday and Sunday. Thank You for the weather forecast. I pray that You would hold the rain off so that we can have a beautiful weekend for the Easter events that we have going on. Bring in the lost. Bring in those that need encouragement. Bring in all those that we've encouraged, invited. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to have a fantastic Easter, not for number's sake, not for ourselves, not for pride, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we do everything here, is to glorify Jesus, make much of His name. I pray that You would help us do that this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Walking in the light. And so we're coming back to this subject, and we come to week 11, where we're looking at this subject of walking in the light, where John is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the churches. And he is one of the last, if not the last, remaining apostle. And he is trying to encourage the believers. He's trying to encourage the church to stay faithful, and to show them that Jesus did come, Jesus is God, and how they are to live and to walk and to love others through these epistles. So we talked about briefly last week, we talked about what is truth and what we hear in our daily observance of news and radio broadcasts and talking to individuals. There is a lot of fake news around us. And so we have to be careful what we listen to and what we accept as truth. And we showed last week just three examples. We stayed away from political, we stayed away from debates, and we stayed away from things of that nature. And just showed you three examples of fake news over the last few years. Mr. Rogers, everybody knows Mr. Rogers. And there was always this news broadcast continually broadcasting for about 3 to 4 weeks that Mr. Rogers was an ex-military sniper. And that's why he never took his sweater off, because his arms were all covered in tattoos. And so, of course, that is fake news. Mr. Rogers was never in the military. He is a Presbyterian that does not believe in going to war. Then we talked about the older couple on the bottom. Great, funny story. It's not true. The husband been married 61 years to his wife, and he faked being deaf for 61 years so he didn't have to listen to his wife. Fake news. And then, of course, a few years ago, I remember this one, a few years ago they came out and said that because of the tropical storms, the hurricanes and the typhoons in the Caribbean and in the Southeast Asia, that there is going to be no more chocolate in 40 years because the cacao trees have been damaged beyond their growth potential and we're going to run out of chocolate. Fake news. So we have to be careful what we're accepting as news and what we're accepting as truth. And of course, we entitled this portion of the scripture where we're going is putting what we hear to the test. Putting what we hear to the test. And that's what this first part of chapter 4 is talking about. And so we talked about true and false, and we talked about how to know the truth and how to know that what we're listening to is truth because it's from the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. It is not a truth, it's the truth. So we talked about four aspects of putting what we know and what we hear to a test so that we know how to walk and live for God. So the first one we talked about was we must test everything we hear. That's verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Next, we looked at we must not only test what we want to live for God, we must test what we're hearing about God, but we also must believe the truth. And how do we know that? Verse 2 and 3, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." So we must believe the truth by testing what people believe about Jesus. And this is where we got stuck. We went to Hebrews chapter 1 and we talked about the express image of God. That phrase in verse 3 of Hebrews 1, talking about a seal where an engraver, an inscriptionist, he is making a seal and he presses that seal into the wax. And that seal is showing us, it is that word express image, where it is showing us that Jesus Christ is an express image of God the Father. So when we see Christ, we see the Father. So he has the same characteristics, he has the same attributes. He is God. So we talked about John 1, and that's sort of where the Holy Spirit took over at John 1, and we didn't leave John 1 the rest of the evening. Praise the Lord for that. Tonight, though, we come to verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Thinking about this idea of the four aspects of the walk, putting things to test, and how we are to walk for God, live for God. Notice verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children." Remember that phrase, little children. That is John's endearing term to the church. He's not talking to young people. He's talking to the church. Remember, he's 80 to 90 years old at this time. "And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We're not only to test, we're not only to believe, but we are to recognize. What do we have to recognize? What is this test of recognition that we are supposed to do? So let me sort of share what it is, and then I'll come back and explain it. We must recognize that we have God's Holy Spirit in us. So if we're going to test everything, if we're going to live for God and excitedly and full of joy and going out and doing what God has asked us to do, we must recognize that we have God living in us. In this spiritual battle called life, there's spiritual testings. There's this idea that we need something more than ourselves to get through this life, to get through the valleys that we go through, to get through the tests that God gives us to increase our faith. We need something more than ourselves. When God's great plan, He gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit of God to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to comfort us, to convict us, to strengthen us. So let's look at some pronouns in verse 4. As we look at the personalities in verse 4, hopefully this will come to an understanding in your heart. John starts with ye. Ye are of God. One of the key things when we're studying translations of the Word of God, when we're studying from the Greek and the Hebrew to English, our language, English, one of the key things that the King James Bible does that most, if not all, other translations do are they take away words, they take away verses. You say, well, I use a new King James. Well, I'm not here to fight you on that. But let me show you one truth about the New King James. The New King James takes away the ye and the thee. So that's old English. We don't need that old English. We don't talk that way. No, I don't. But it's a reason why that's there. And when we replace it, are we replacing it with the proper pronouns? So ye, anytime you have a pronoun that begins with a Y in the King James Bible, that ye, it's plural. Plural. Think of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. It is a one-on-one conversation. He is trying to help Nicodemus understand he needs to be saved. So when Jesus says, ye must be born again, he's not just talking to Nicodemus. If he was talking just to Nicodemus, he would have said, it's not proper English, but somehow he would have gotten across this idea that thee must be born again. Thee is singular. But he says ye. Ye is plural. So he's telling all of us, all that read it, all that hear this story of Jesus talking to Nicodemus, ye also, you must be born again. It's plural. Well, the New King James takes that away. And they replace it with other pronouns. I haven't done extensive study on that. I trust the King James Bible. It's the one I got saved with. It's the one I'm sticking with. It fits for me. I love the language. It's a beautiful, beautiful written Bible. But when John says ye, that's us. That's plural. Talking. John's not just talking to an individual. John is talking to the church. And the time of this writing, he's talking to the first century church. But he's also talking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to every person in the church that has read this and heard it and read it themselves. He is saying to those who are followers of God, he's showing you whose you are. As ye are of God. Ye are of God. He goes on there and says, God. Ye are of God. What is this God? What is this title of God? This is the Creator. This is the Creator of all things. This is the King of all. This is the ruler of all. This is the loving Father. He says, little children, again, as we've said, these are followers of Christ. They're precious to John. He looks at them as younger than him, and he says, little children, endearingly to them as fellow believers in Christ. But then we come to some other pronouns. He says, and have overcome them. Who is the them? Them are the false teachers of verse 3 and 2 and 3. These are the ones, especially verse 3, these are the ones that don't confess that Jesus is Christ. These are the ones that say that Jesus did not come and was God. They say he came and became God, or they say Jesus is just a good teacher, a moral man, a teacher of the law, a rabbi. No. Verse 2 tells us. When we look at this test of believe we looked at before, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Remember back in verse 1 we started this study? They were saying that Jesus had not come. It was a myth. And we're only 60-some years away from His resurrection. And they're saying, oh, He didn't come. This next generation has come around and they're believing the lies of those of verse 3, the false teachers. The them in verse 4 where it says, ye are God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome the false teachers. Those trying to deceive you that Jesus has not come, you have believed Him and you now accept that He has come and He is God. So you've overcome the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist. Now notice in the latter part of verse 4, because greater is He that is in you. The He there, a great study in your scriptures as you're reading your Bible. A friend of mine, we went to school together in Bible college. He showed me this. He was constantly marking his Bible as he was reading. I said, is the Lord giving you that much as you're reading? He goes, well, He does, but that's not what I'm doing. I said, well, what are you doing? Every time I come to the pronoun of He or Him or His, and it refers to God, I capitalize it. So every time he reads his Bible, he's marking over the lowercase h, and he's put a capital H there. What a great way to think about this. It helps us as we read the Word of God. But as we see here, because greater is He, God, that is in you. The one in us is God Himself. In some ways, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He's as much God as God the Son. And He's as much God as God the Father. They're co-equal, co-existent, same attributes, same characteristics. So the one that is in us, talking about greater is He that's in you, is talking about Jesus, is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. The one Jesus said is going to come. When He goes back, He's coming. The Comforter's coming. This passage speaks of a spiritual battle. Praise God, we have the greater Spirit dwelling inside of us. Because notice the latter part of the verse. Than he that is in the world. That is talking about Satan. That is talking about the evil one. That's talking about the wicked one. That's talking about the one that sends out the false teachers trying to deceive. He that rules the world for a short time. He's the one that spreads lies. He's the one that spreads evilness. He's the one that spreads wickedness. And it says now, looking back at this verse, ye, all of us that have believed Christ, ye are of God the Father. Little children or believers in Christ, and have overcome them, the false teachers, the spreaders of lies, because greater is God that is in you than he, the devil, that is in the world. So we have all this information from verse 4, and hear what it boils down to. We must recognize that there is a supernatural strength inside of us that comes from the Spirit of God. And it's right at our disposal. We just have to request. We just have to ask. We have to yield. We have to submit. Oh, those are hard things to do. Yes, it is. But it's worth it if you want to overcome the evil things of the world. The one who is in the world is powerful. We cannot defeat Satan on our own. Oh, say, oh yeah, I'm pretty strong in my faith. Yeah, but in your faith, you're trusting in someone to help you fight that battle. But if we try to go about our daily business and say, oh God, I've got this one today. Not many meetings, not many jobs to do today. Easy tasks today. I spent the day, I'm preparing for our fall semester. It starts in August. It'll be our first online college class. A lot of preparation going involved, but it always, I have a lot of preparation getting ready for the next class. A lot of research. I have spent all day reading, trying to find textbooks that I agree with that I will allow students to read on the subject that we'll be teaching. So I have read all day throughout the day, multiple sites on the internet looking at material. If I tried to do that in my own spirit, if I tried to do that in my own strength, if I tried to do that in my own wisdom, I could pick a book that could directly influence a student for evil, to believe a false record, to believe a lie. But I have to be careful what I put before students. But also, as I'm scanning the internet, and I probably had, as you cross the top of your internet screen, all the tabs, it was past the screen. So I probably had about 20 to 25 screens open at one time as I'm researching books and picking apart books. Of course, you can only read a few chapters of it. So I'm scanning, I'm looking at reviews. And as I'm doing that, if I'm not doing it in the strength of the Holy Spirit, if I'm not doing it in the strength and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, then 25 websites can turn into one website that's evil, one website that's not going to help my testimony. So if I don't do everything I'm doing in a day that seems fairly innocent, fairly easy, if I don't do it in the spirit of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, see how I could fall? Somebody can walk, and they walk in my office often throughout the day, and my screen's right there, so as you walk in my office, you can see what's on my screen. I do that on purpose. And so when somebody walks in my office and I'm on the internet, prayfully it's going to be the right thing, right? Well, do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. My wife can pick up my cell phone at any time. She knows my code to get in my phone. I'm not hiding anything from my wife on my phone. She'll look up stuff on the internet. She can't. Hers is in her purse, and you know how ladies' purses are. And so mine's really usually in a cup holder in the car or right there on the side table between our chairs. So she can grab my phone very easily, get into my phone, and go wherever. I'm not fearful. I'm not worried. Because when I'm on my phone, I'm doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So I'm driving today. I'm just going to be in the car today. I got a lot of mileage to go, a lot of windshield time today. And as I drive down the road, I'm going to do it in my own strength. I'm going to do it in my own power. I know how to get from A to B. What if somebody cuts you off? What if somebody calls you while you're driving down the road and you get some bad news? Are you in Christ? Are you in the Spirit of God today? John is saying, recognize that you have a power at your disposal to live for God and to glorify Him every moment of every day. So while some of my stuff is so simple, so easy, I know it by routine. Careful. Careful. He who is in the world is more powerful than you and I. He is smarter than you and I. He is deceptive. He can turn himself into an angel of light. He is the father of lies. He is like a roaring lion wanting to devour and destroy believers in Christ. He has a couple main missions while he's on this earth. Take as many as with him as he can deceive to hell and destroy the testimony of believers in Christ. Ruin their influence for others. But verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have nothing to fear if we're in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to be confused about. We have nothing to be overwhelmed by. We have nothing to lose sleep over. We have nothing to be worried about, because the one who is in us is much greater than the one that's in the world. And he's not just a tenth greater, or 25 times greater. He's infinitely greater than the one that's in this world. Because the one that's in this world is a created being. The one that's in us is part of the Godhead that created him. The one in the world is the one who should be in fear. The evil forces should be in fear because their end is coming, and I think it's coming sooner rather than later. But the child of God can rest in the comfort and the knowledge that we belong to God, and God is greater than the forces of this world. So what has the devil deceived you about that you're worrying about? What has the devil deceived and lied to you about that you lose sleep over? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God wakes you up in the midnight. Go back and read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God. Praise the Lord. As we seek to know what is true and what is false, as we seek to protect ourselves from false teachers, we are to do this in the strength and in the wisdom of the Spirit of God that indwells us. But we are also, as we are listening to teaching of the Word of God, as we're listening to preaching of the Word of God, when we're praying and reading the Word of God, and these thoughts come in our head, and they're not godly thoughts, that's the one in the world. He's impacting us. He's trying to stop us from reading God's Word. Recognize, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Something we all can improve on. Now notice verse 5 and 6 tonight. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The last action we are to take to live for God as we put everything we hear about God and His Word to the test is not just to test it, not just to believe it, not just to recognize it, but to listen. Listen. If we want to know the truth of God, then we need to listen to the truth speaker. Not the evil, lying speaker. We need to listen to the truth speaker. That's not man. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, as John writes through the power and the inspiration of God, verse 5 and verse 6, he's saying, they are of the world. That's a contrast to verse 4, ye are of God. They are of the world as the false teachers. They are the spirit of Antichrist. They are the ones led and empowered by Satan himself. So what's their influence? What is their goal? What is their aim? What is their drive? Deceive you. Lie to you, cause fear, cause loss of sleep, cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do, to destroy your testimony, to ruin your influence with other people. The world and those in the world listen to those in the world. That's what's inside of them. That is them. That's their being. That's their existence. The world is deceived because they are filled with the deception of being led by deceivers. Paul talks about this. Hold your place there. We'll go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Not only can Satan change himself into an angel of light to deceive individuals, but it says in verse 13 that the false ones, the false teachers, the false prophets, the false apostles, the false preachers and Christians, The deceitful workers, they too can transform themselves to the apostles of Christ. For over 3 years, Judas Iscariot walked with Christ. For at least 3 years, he was in the ministry with Christ. He was one of those sent out by Christ, two by two, and they went out healing. They went out casting out demons. Judas Iscariot was a false prophet, a false teacher, a false apostle. Judas Iscariot did not go to heaven. Judas Iscariot went to hell. He is one of these that's talking about in 2 Corinthians 11. John was there. John walked with him. John talked with him. John fellowshipped with him. And now they look back and go, oh my, he deceived us. You know, they're the Lord's the Last Supper in the upper room, and Jesus is serving, and he tells them that one of you is going to betray me. They have no, they don't all turn and look at Judas. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? They were questioning, who is it, God? Is it me? They had no idea that it was Judas Iscariot. But now they look back. Wow, he deceived us. That, if John and Peter and the rest of the apostles can be deceived, don't you think we can? Sure we can. So we have to test the spirits. What do they say about Christ? These people make it seem, these false teachers, they make it seem that they are sharing truth, but in reality, they are sharing lies. Don't fall for it. You ever had somebody come and knock at your door? I want to give you some religious material. If you're not prepared to talk to them, don't talk to them, because they will deceive you. I've gotten in discussions with them, and I'm ready to go get my Bible, and they're ready to pull out their Book of Mormon. I said, we don't need to go that far. I can quote it. I'll quote John 1 and show them the Jesus I believe in. I said, that's not the same Jesus you believe in. Oh, yes, it is. Had a young man with an elder behind him, and the young man was doing the talking. I guess they were trying to train him. Well, they were training him at the wrong door, because he got an earful of the gospel. I gave that young man the gospel. I wasn't even looking at the elder. I was looking at the young man. He couldn't have been more than 15, 16 years old, and I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, and if you'll go back and you'll open your Bible, the real Bible, and you'll study John chapter 1, you'll see that Jesus Christ is God and He's not Satan's brother. He's not a God, He is the God. That elder pushed the young man aside and started talking to me. I said, I've had enough. Same for you. You can be saved. We need to go. Okay. If you're not prepared to talk to them, don't. Because what they say sounds so good, so close to the truth, but yet it's not truth. It's deception. It is deceiving. It is lies. The most dangerous lie is the one closest to truth. Be very careful. Same goes for the other group that's in their black ties and white shirts. Be careful. What they have to say sounds good. A lot of people are falling in to what they say. The lifestyle. Oh, they've got a moral lifestyle. That's works. I'm saved by faith. I'll move on. But the elder was like, oh, so you're one of those that believes Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I said, absolutely. The only way I'm ever going to get to see Jesus Christ is because of what He did for me. Nothing that I do of myself. It's all of Him. Okay, it's time for us to go. I'm sure that young man got a lecture in the car. That's one of those wackos. I don't know. I was praising God when I shut the door, that He gave me the words to say. The deceivers are in the world. Who's in us? God. If you were a follower of Christ, verse 4 says, ye are of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise the Lord. I need Him every day. Verse 6 says, we are of God. We don't need to fall for the foolishness. We don't need to fall for the deceptions. We don't need to fall for the lies, because we are from God and God is in us, if you know Him as your Savior. But notice an interesting phrase in verse 6. It says, he that knoweth God heareth us. Why didn't John say, he that knoweth God heareth him? Instead, he wrote, he that knoweth God heareth us. Who's the us? Go back to chapter 1. And John starts in chapter 1 with we. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. The we is talking about the apostles. The disciples of Christ, they are the ones that are saying, we are trying to help you. We are trying to help you. John is saying, if you're in God and God's in you, then listen to us. We were with Him. We walked with Him. He talked with us. He trained us. He taught us. He showed us by His example. And we're trying to share that with you. Listen to our message. Jesus is Lord. We can be distracted by all types of information. We need to be listening for the true message. Are you a listener? It's a story told about a country farmer who went and was invited by his cousin to visit downtown New York City. He'd never been in the city, never been in a major city, always been in the country on his farm. So the first time he says, okay, after multiple invitations, he finally agrees, I'll come to the city. Walking down a busy, busy street with his cousin, he suddenly stops and says, I hear a cricket. His cousin says, you're crazy. There is no way that you can hear a cricket in the middle of New York City. The farmer says, I hear a cricket. I'm sure of it. His cousin said, it's noon. There are thousands of people walking by us. There are the street noises. There's the car horns. There's the traffic. I don't think you hear a cricket. The farmer listens quietly again, and he walks slowly across the street, where he comes to a large cement planter. It has a shrub in it with some leaves and some mulch in it. He digs around under the leaves, and sure enough, he comes out with a cricket in his hand. His cousin's stunned. "You've got amazing hearing to be able to hear a cricket in all of the city noise." The farmer says, "No, my ears are no different than yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to." He said, "Let me show you." So the farmer reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a handful of change. There's quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies. And he drops it on the sidewalk. Every head turned. He said, "It depends on what you're listening for. Are you listening for the truth? If you're not, then you're being deceived. The capability and the probability is there that you're going to be deceived. You want to be listening for the truth. Where, if we say, I've not heard from Jesus, I need an answer, I need to hear from Him, tune out the world and tune in to heaven." You ever seen a documentary of penguins on a beach? A beach, not our kind of beach, but an ice beach. You ever seen these penguin mothers after all their baby penguins have been born? They call them chicks. Have you ever seen a documentary or a show where all these penguins are lining the beach and they're surrounded by all these little baby penguins? Thousands upon thousands of chicks. Thousands upon thousands of mama penguins. And they all look the same. How does the mama and the chick know each other? Well, a penguin has been given a gift by their creator. They can make clicking sounds. And they can have unique combinations of sounds where the mama and the chick know it. And so they'll be on this beach with thousands of penguins and thousands of babies, and the mama penguin starts a clicking that's unique to her, and the little baby knows it and goes to his mama, listening for the right sound. God has a unique relationship with His children. He knows us, and prayfully we know Him. Let's not be distracted by all the other sounds out there in the world. Seek God. Seek His ways. Know God. Know His ways. Listen for God. Listen for His ways. There's so much information out there. False teaching abounds today. Not only from those who make no claim to be followers of God, but those also who claim to be part of a church. False teaching may be more attractive at first, but in the end, it leads to deception and possibly death. We don't need to fall for false teaching. Instead, we need to rely, recognize that we have the Spirit of God living within inside of us and trust Him. The people of God should be led by the Spirit of God. Let me give you two challenges this week. Put something to the test in your life. Surely there are many influences in your life. Put one, select one, pick it and put it to the test. Is that influence in your life from the spirit of this world or from the Spirit of God? Learn how to do this testing so that you will be able to put more things to the test as you develop in the wisdom that the Holy Spirit is trying to give you. You ever go about doing something and you just feel like maybe this isn't right? It's not choosing what's right and wrong. Hopefully we know that. It's about choosing what is good, better, and best. Clarence Sexton, president of the Crown College where I went to school and pastor of Temple Baptist Church, just stepped into glory just recently and has met his Savior. He always said, take the high road. In all things, take the high road. It might not be a bad thing that you're trying to go away from, but it might just be a good thing. And he said, and the good things are okay, but there's better things. But then there are best things. That's the high road. So put something to the test in your life this week. And secondly, with all the things that are going on in our day, busy month we've had here at the church, a good month, but a busy month. Spring revival just around the corner, Share-a-thon just a few weeks away. This one's important. This weekly challenge. Rest in God. Rest in God. John says to us, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. So church, let us rest in the fact, find comfort and confidence in the fact that you are in Christ and God's Spirit is in you. This week, challenge yourself to rest in God. When you're tempted to be anxious, when you're tempted to be fearful, challenge yourself to rest in God. Turn with me, we'll close with this, Psalm 116. I have it on the screen too. As busy as my days are, they're no busier than yours. I have to find time to rest in God throughout the day. If it's first thing in the morning after I've prayed and read my Bible, whenever it is, I need a time where I can rest in God, ease my mind. I've got soft Christian piano music on my phone and I'll just lay in the bed and listen to that. The lights are off and I'm resting in God. You have to find a time and a place through the day where you rest in God. Notice Psalm 116, verse 7. Psalm 116, 7 says, return unto thy rest. It's personal. Remember, a T in the King James Bible of a pronoun is singular. Return unto thy rest. Put your name there. A challenge in your Bible, just write your name there. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. That thee in the end is singular. You could put your name there as well. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For thy Lord hath dealt bountifully. Become anxious during the day, become fearful in the day, become upset during the day. I challenge you, put that verse in front of you. Rest in the God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. God's got it if we'll give it to Him. That's the key. Whatever you're fearful over, whatever you're anxious over, whatever is upsetting you and on and on and on, if you give it to God, truly give it to God, He's got it. Now, He might not take care of it that second, but that's where we recognize who's in us. He's got it. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for us not rushing through and passing over this portion. I needed it, Lord, and I thank you for it. Of course, we all have things to work on. We're not perfect. Far from it. We fail you probably more times in a day than you receive glory from us. Lord, help us to try to start changing that percentage. Start relying on the Holy Spirit of God so that we can bring more glory to you during the day than we fail you. When we get overwhelmed, when we get burdened, when we get anxious, when we get fearful, when we get angry and upset, help us to remember Psalm 116, verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Bless this weekend, Lord. Lord, we want to see souls saved. We want to see people come and join the church, and we can glorify you, not for number's sake, but that you are receiving glory. Help us to do our part. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.